Whoever monks would tend me, he should tend the sick. Buddhist Books Podcast, episode 284, Tipitaka, part 186, in which I will continue reading the Tipitaka, the Three Baskets of Pre-Sectarian Early Buddhism, translated directly into English from the original Pali language, by the Pali Text Society. Thank you, Pali Text Society. Notice I paused and said language after Pali, because Pali isn't the name of a language. Pali is the word for canon in that language. So if you've ever heard anyone say the Pali canon, know that they're saying the canon canon. Anyway, enough levity. So today we're reading Mahavagga 8, continuing Mahavagga 8, picking up right where we left off last time. And so this is Mahavagga 8, part 6. So we'll see where it goes. Now at that time, much robe material accrued to a certain monk, and he was desirous of giving that robe material to his parents. They told this matter to the Lord. He said, quote, because he is himself giving to his parents, monks, what can we say? I allow you, monks, to give to parents. But, monks, a gift of faith should not be brought to ruin. Whoever should bring one to ruin, there is an offense of wrongdoing. End quote. Now at that time, a certain monk, laying aside a robe in the blind men's grove, entered a village for alms food, with only his upper and inner robes. Thieves carried off that robe. That monk became badly dressed, wearing shabby robes. Monks spoke thus, quote, why are you, your reverence, badly dressed, wearing shabby robes? End quote. Quote, now I, your reverences, laying aside a robe in the blind men's grove, entered a village for alms food, with only the upper and inner robes. Thieves carried off that robe. That is why I am badly dressed, wearing shabby robes. End quote. They told this matter to the Lord. He said, quote, monks, a village should not be entered by a monk wearing only the upper and inner robes. Whoever should so enter one, there is an offense of wrongdoing. End quote. Now at that time, the Venerable Ananda, through unmindfulness, entered a village for alms food with only his upper and inner robes. Monks spoke thus to the Venerable Ananda, quote, Reverend Ananda, has it not been laid down by the Lord that a village should not be entered by a monk wearing only the upper and inner robes? Why do you, your reverence, enter a village with only your upper and inner robes? End quote. Quote, "It is true, your reverences, that it was laid down by the Lord that a village should not be entered by a monk wearing only the upper and inner robes, but I entered through unmindfulness." End quotes. They told this matter to the Lord. He said, quote, "Monks, there are 5 reasons for laying aside the outer cloak. If one becomes ill, or if he comes to be spending the rains, or if he comes to go to the other side of a river, or if the dwelling place comes to be secured with a bolt, or if the katina cloth has been made. These, monks, are the 5 reasons for laying aside the outer cloak. And, monks, there are 5 reasons for laying aside the upper robe, the inner robe. If one becomes ill, 3 dots. Or if the katina cloth has been made." So it's the same 5, we can assume. "These, monks, are the 5 reasons for laying aside the upper robe, the inner robe. And, monks, there are 5 reasons for laying aside a cloth for the rains. If one becomes ill, or if he comes to go outside the boundary, or if he comes to go to the other side of a river, or if the dwelling place comes to be secured with a bolt, or if a cloth for the rains comes to be not made or imperfectly executed." Okay, "these, monks, are the 5 reasons for laying aside a cloth for the rains." End quote. "Now at that time, a certain monk spent the rains alone. People there saying, quote, 'We are giving for an order,' end quote, gave robes. Then it occurred to that monk, quote, 'It is laid down by the Lord that the least order is fourfold, but I am solitary.' And these people saying, quote, within quotes, 'We are giving for an order,' and quote, within quotes, gave robes. What now if I should convey these robes belonging to an order to Savati?" End quote. Then that monk, taking those robes, having gone to Savati, told this matter to the Lord. He said, quote, "These robes, monk, are for yourself until the removal of the katina," parentheses, privileges, end parentheses, which is English for katina. So, anyway. "This is a case, monks, where a monk is spending the rains alone. People there saying, quote within quotes, 'We are giving for an order,' and quote within quotes, give robes. I allow, monks, those robes to be for himself until the removal of the katina," parentheses, privileges, end parentheses, end quote. "Now at that time, a certain monk spent a favorable time of year alone. People there saying, quote, 'We are giving for an order,' end quote, gave robes. Then it occurred to that monk, quote, 'It is laid down by the Lord that the least order is fourfold, but I am solitary.' And these people saying, quote, within quotes, 'We are giving for an order,' end quote, within quotes, gave robes. What now if I should convey these robes belonging to an order to Savati?" End quote. Then that monk, taking those robes, having gone to Savati, told this matter to the monks. The monks told this matter to the Lord. He said, quote, "I allow you, monks, to distribute these robes to the order that is present. This is a case, monks, where a monk is spending a favorable time of year alone," so not the rains. Personally, I prefer the rains, so for me, the favorable time is the rains, but never mind. people there saying, quote within quotes, we are giving foreign order, end quote within quotes, give robes. I allow monks, that monk to allot those robes, saying, quote within quotes, these robes are for me, end quote within quotes. If monks, that monk does not allot that robe material, and another monk comes, an equal portion should be given to him. If monks, the kusa lot was not cast while that robe material was being distributed by those monks, and another monk comes, an equal portion should be given to him. If monks, the kusa lot was cast while that robe material was being distributed by those monks, and another monk comes, a portion need not be given to him if they are not willing. End quote. Now at that time, two brothers who were elders, the Venerable Isidasa and the Venerable Isibhata. I think these guys are new. We haven't seen them before. Having spent the rains at Savati, went to a certain village residence, people saying, quote, it is long since the elders came here, end quote, gave food with robes. The resident monks asked the elders, quote, honored sirs, thanks to the elders, these robes belonging to the order have accrued. Let the elders consent to accept a portion. End quote. The elders spoke thus, quote, insofar as we, your reverences, understand Dhamma as taught by the Lord, these robes are for you yourselves until the removal of the katina, parentheses, privileges, end parentheses, end quote. Now at that time, three monks were spending the rains in Rajagaha. People there saying, quote, we are giving foreign order, end quote, gave robes. Then it occurred to these monks, quote, it is laid down by the Lord that the least order is fourfold, but we are three persons. And these people saying, quote, within quotes, we are giving foreign order, end quote, within quotes, gave robes. Now, what line of conduct should be followed by us? End quote. Now at that time, several elders, the Venerable Nilavasin and the Venerable Sanavasin and the Venerable Gopaka and the Venerable Bagu, he looks familiar, spelled differently, though. It's spelled with a B-H here. And the Venerable Filikasandana, getting a bit crowded up here, were staying at Pataliputta in the Cox Monastery. Then these elders, having gone to Pataliputta, asked the elders. The elders spoke thus, quote, insofar as we understand Dhamma as taught by the Lord, it is that these robes are for you yourselves until the removal of the katina, parentheses, privileges, end parentheses, end quote. Now at that time, the Venerable Upananda, the son of the Sakyans, haven't seen him in a little while. He's famous for his love of robes and his issues with his brother's cellmate. Ha!
Gay!
Having spent the rains at Savati, went to a certain village residence. We won't comment about the time he was on probation. And there the monks assembled, wishing to distribute robe material. These spoke thus, quote, these robes, your reverence, belonging to the order, will be distributed. Will you consent to accept a portion? End quote. I bet he consents to accept a portion. Quote, yes, your reverences, I will consent, end quote. And taking up a portion of the robe material from there, he went to another residence. The monks there also assembled, wishing to distribute robe material. These also spoke thus, quote, these robes, your reverence, belonging to the order, will be distributed. Will you consent to accept a portion? End quote. Quote, yes, your reverences, I will consent. He loves robes. End quote. And taking up a portion of the robe material from there too, he went to another residence. The monks there also assembled, wishing to distribute robe material. These also spoke thus, quote, these robes, your reverence, belonging to the order, will be distributed. Will you consent to accept a portion? End quote. Quote, yes, your reverences, I will consent, end quote. And taking up a portion of the robe material from there too, taking a great bundle of robe material, he came back to Savati. Monks spoke thus, quote, you, Reverend Upananda, are of great merit. Much robe material has accrued to you. End quote. Quote, whence, your reverences, is there merit for me? Now I, your reverences, having spent the rains at Savati, went to a certain village residence. The monks were there assembled, wishing to distribute robe material. They spoke thus to me, quote within quotes, these robes, your reverence, belonging to the order, will be distributed. Will you consent to accept a portion? End quote within quotes, yes, your reverences, I will consent, end quote within quotes. And taking up a portion of the robe material from there, I went to another residence. The monks there also assembled, wishing to distribute robe material. These also spoke thus to me, quote within quotes, these robes, your reverence, belonging to the order, will be distributed. Will you consent to accept a portion? End quote within quotes. Quote within quotes, yes, your reverences, I will consent. End quote within quotes, and taking up a portion of the robe material from there too, I went to another residence. The monks there also assembled, wishing to distribute robe material. These also spoke thus to me, quote within quotes, these robes, three dots, a portion? End quote within quotes, yes, your reverences, I will consent, end quote within quotes, and I took up a portion of the robe material from there too. This much robe material accrued to me, end quote. Quote, but is it that you, Reverend Upananda, having spent the rains somewhere else, will consent to accept a portion of the robe material elsewhere? End quote. Quote, yes, your reverences. End quote, he said. Those who were modest monks looked down upon, criticized, spread it about, saying, quote, how can the venerable Upananda, the son of the Sakyans, having spent the rains somewhere else, consent to accept robe material elsewhere? End quote. They told this matter to the Lord. He said, quote, is it true that you, Upananda, having spent the rains somewhere else, consented to accept a portion of robe material elsewhere? End quote. Quote, it is true, Lord. End quote. The awakened one, the Lord, rebuked him, saying, quote, how can you, foolish man, having spent the rains somewhere else, consent to accept a portion of robe material elsewhere? It is not, foolish man, for pleasing those who are not yet pleased, nor for increasing the number of those who are pleased. End quote. Having rebuked him, having given reasoned talk, he addressed the monks, saying, quote, monks, a portion of robe material is not to be consented to elsewhere by one who has spent the rains somewhere else. Whoever should consent to accept, there is an offense of wrongdoing. End quote. Now at that time, the venerable Upananda, don't go anywhere, still, the son of the Sakyans, like Lord Buddha was son of the Sakyans, there's lighter restrictions on sons of the Sakyans being accepted into the Sangha. So sometimes you end up with someone like this walking around thinking he can just do whatever he wants, right? Nepotism. Spent the rains alone in two residences, thinking, quote, thus will much robe material accrue to me. End quote. Then it occurred to these monks, quote, how should a share of robe material be given to the venerable Upananda, the son of the Sakyans? End quote. They told this matter to the Lord. He said, quote, monks, give one share to the foolish man. For this is a case, monks, where a monk is spending the rains alone in two residences, thinking, quote, within quotes, thus will much robe material accrue to me. End quote, within quotes. If he stays half the time at one, half the time at the other, share a half share. What? Half a share of robe material should be given to him at the one, half at the other, or where he spends the more time. From there is a share of robe material to be given to him. End quote. Now, at that time, a certain monk was suffering from dysentery. He lay fallen in his own excrements. Then the Lord, as he was touring the lodgings with the venerable Ananda as his attendant, approached that monk's dwelling place. The Lord saw that monk lying fallen in his own excrements. Seeing him, he approached that monk, and having approached, he spoke thus to that monk, quote, what is your disease, monk? End quote. Quote, Lord, I have dysentery. End quote. Quote, but monk, have you anyone who tends you? End quote. Quote, I have not, Lord. End quote, he said. Quote, why do not the monks tend you? End quote. Quote, I, Lord, am of no use to the monks, therefore the monks do not tend me. End quote. Then the Lord addressed the venerable Ananda, saying, quote, go, Ananda, bring water. We will bathe this monk. End quote. Quote, very well, Lord. End quote. And the venerable Ananda, having answered the Lord in assent, when he had brought the water, the Lord sprinkled on the water. The venerable Ananda washed him over. The Lord took him by the head, the venerable Ananda by the feet, and having raised him up, they laid him down on a couch. Then the Lord, on that occasion, in that connection, having had the order of monks convened, asked the monks, quote, is there, monks, in such and such a dwelling place, a monk who is ill? End quote. Quote, there is, Lord. End quote. Quote, what, monks, is that monk's disease? Quote, quote, Lord, the venerable one has dysentery. End quote. Quote, but, monks, is there anyone who is tending that monk? End quote. Quote, there is not, Lord. End quote. Quote, why do not the monks tend him? End quote. Quote, Lord, this monk is of no use to the monks, therefore the monks do not tend that monk. End quote. Quote, monks, you have not a mother. You have not a father who might tend you. If you, monks, do not tend one another, then who is there who will tend you? Whoever, monks, would tend me, he should tend the sick. Whoever does this to the least of my brethren, he does it unto me, came a few hundred years after Lord Buddha said that. Just saying, if somebody's copying somebody, Lord Buddha said it first. Sorry, just kidding. Just playfully. Teasing. Anyway, if he has a preceptor, he should be tended for life by the preceptor, who should wait for his recovery. If he has a teacher, he should be tended for life by the teacher, who should wait for his recovery. If he has one who shares a dwelling place, three dots, same thing, should tend to him and wait for his recovery. If he has a pupil, three dots. If he has a fellow preceptor, three dots. If he has a fellow teacher, he should be tended for life by the fellow teacher, who should wait for his recovery. If he has neither a preceptor, nor a teacher, nor one who shares a dwelling place, nor a pupil, nor a fellow preceptor, nor a fellow teacher, he should be tended by the order. If it should not tend him, there is an offense of wrongdoing. Endowed with five qualities, monks, does one who is ill become difficult to tend? He becomes one who does not do what is beneficial. He does not know moderation in what is beneficial. He becomes one who does not take medicines. He becomes one who does not make clear the disease just as it comes to be one who tends the sick and who wishes him well, saying, as it is getting worse, it is getting worse, or as it is getting better, it is getting better, or as it is stationary, it is stationary. He becomes not the kind of man who endures bodily feelings, which arising are painful, acute, sharp, shooting, disagreeable, miserable, deadly. Endowed with these five qualities, monks, does one who is ill become difficult to tend? Endowed with five qualities, monks, does one who is ill become easy to tend? He becomes one who does what is beneficial. He knows moderation in what is beneficial. He becomes one who takes medicine. He makes clear the disease just as it comes to be to one who tends the sick and who wishes him well, saying, as it is getting worse, it is getting worse, or as it is getting better, it is getting better, or as it is stationary, it is stationary. He becomes the kind of man who endures bodily feelings which arising are painful, acute, sharp, shooting, disagreeable, miserable, deadly. Endowed with these five qualities, monks, does one who is ill become easy to tend? Endowed with five qualities, monks, is one who tends the sick not fit to tend the sick. He comes to be not competent to provide medicine. He does not know what is beneficial and what is not beneficial. He brings forward what is not beneficial. He takes away what is beneficial. He tends the sick in hope of gain, not from amity of mind. He becomes one who loathes to remove excrement or urine or sweat or vomit. He does not come to be competent to gladden, rejoice, rouse, delight the sick from time to time with Dhamma talk. Endowed with these five qualities, monks, one who tends the sick is not fit to tend the sick. Endowed with five qualities, monks, is one who tends the sick fit to tend the sick. He comes to be competent to provide the medicine. He knows what is beneficial and what is not beneficial. He takes away what is not beneficial. He brings forward what is beneficial. He tends the sick from amity of mind, not from hope of gain. He does not become one who loathes to remove excrement or urine or sweat or vomit. He comes to be competent to gladden, rejoice, rouse, and delight the sick from time to time with Dhamma talk. Endowed with these five qualities, monks, is one who tends the sick fit to tend the sick. End quote. And that's where we'll close today. All right. Thank you for joining me for this reading today. And I think that, you know, for one who tends the sick, it would be good to remember the advice of Lord Buddha, even if you are not a monk, that do it from amity of heart and bring what is beneficial, obviously. Try to gladden them, cheer them up. Maybe if they're into Dhamma talk, you can talk to them about these things. All right. I wish everyone the best. May you be of good health. And next time, we will be getting back to a little bit of Shingon, reading through the Matrix and Diamond World Mandalas in Shingon Buddhism by Adrian Snodgrass, I believe is his name. That's the one thing we read on Buddhist Books podcast, which isn't technically scripture translated into English, but it's what we've got. Apparently it's a good book. It wasn't easy to get. And then we will return to the Tipitaka in the following episode. All right, I'll go ahead and do our usual closing. To the north and to the south, to the east and to the west, to the spirits of light among us and to the spirits below, we send out our reverent love and compassion. May all beings be happy. May all beings be serene. May all beings be in peace. Until next time.